It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
You reap what you sow, brother.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
B, I can't argue with you.
Oh, baby. A lot going on in the Bay Area. We have Media Day with the Golden State Warriors. Steiny and Goo will be there from 10 to 2. Mike Dunleavy, Buddy Buckets, Buddy Hill, Kyle Anderson, a.k.a. Slow-Mo. They're all going to join the show from 10 to 2. Steiny and Guru live from Chase Center. Media Day happening. Basketball is just around the corner. The Giants season ended yesterday. So what will the next 24 to 48 hours look like? Will Farhan Zaidi be let go? Will he be relieved of his duties? Or will he be back? Will Farhan be back? We shall see about that. And, of course, the Niners approved a 2-2 yesterday, beating up on the Patriots 30-13, although it wasn't the prettiest game. You had a fumble on a kickoff return right at a halftime. Mason let the ball hit the turf a couple times. Brock Purdy forced an interception. But otherwise, it was really, really good. Brock Purdy was excellent. He's playing at a very, very high level. Not too many quarterbacks I would want over him. And also, we got some sad news just before the break that Dikembe Mutombo has passed away at the age of 58. Due to brain cancer. So that stinks. One of the good guys in the NBA, one of the great ambassadors of the NBA for many, many years, a role model. Just really sad, man. 58 seems just way, way too young for a guy like Dikembe, especially for a guy like Dikembe Mutombo. But I heard he was battling the illness for a while now, and unfortunately he had brain cancer, man. Brain cancer, that just stinks. Just stinks. But we start with the Niners, Shasky.
I feel really good about, and Dikembe is really sad, so there's really no easy pivot.
No, but you can't segue.
I sound cruel here, but no, as I pivot to the Niners, I feel really good about the defensive line. It's Okwuanu.
Samuel Okwuanu.
Is this guy like the new gem? Who was the guy from BYU that Chris Kocurek worked with who had only played football a couple of years, and he ended up never... Ziggy Ansah,
yeah, Detroit Lions.
He never ended up materializing. He wouldn't live up to the top.
A couple years, right?
What?
Ziggy Ansah, he had a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah, but like similar backstory where he had not really played a lot of actual NFL or no, football, high
second
school.
Second team All-Pro 2015.
He had a moment.
So... I don't know. It's an interesting story. I think if they can find a pass rusher like this guy to just show up and make plays. I thought, Leonard Floyd looked really good yesterday. Malik Collins continues to shine. I didn't think they really missed Javon Hargrave that much yesterday, but it's one game and it's the Patriots. So I'm not here to say that they're, infinitely better, but to see the defensive line with a multiple score lead, kind of close that game out and keep that quarterback under duress. I thought that was like one of those things I've been dying to see all year. So I'm really happy this morning about the pass rush. And that might not be at everyone's, front of their lobes watching that, but seeing Nick Bosa play like Nick Bosa in the second half of a game and close that game out, I thought it was an encouraging sign forward.
Six sacks for the 49ers yesterday. Six sacks, numerous hurries. Jacoby Brissett. I'm not sure how he survived in that football game, but I'm sure a lot of Patriots fans were clamoring to see Drake May, but you can't put him out there in that situation. You cannot do it. That offensive line, they lost David Andrews early in the football game. First drive, he's walking off the football field. It's like, wow, a beat-up offensive line. We talked about their tackles last week being subpar, below-average tackles. The Patriots are just not a good football team. So, to your point about the defensive line playing very well, I'm happy they dominated. They should have dominated. If they didn't dominate in this football game, we'd be having a different conversation. Now, the Niners probably still would have won, but at some, you got to get home, especially on a team like this.
Best Bosa game since when?
Probably Detroit NFC Championship game.
All right.
He wasn't bad in that game.
All right.
He wasn't bad early. I mean, early on, the entire defense was bad, but he started making his plays. But look, he needed that game. And he should have had that game against the Patriots. That's why many on Barton Bridge where he's saying, look, I'm not trying to get too hyped up about this win. Now you have to do it again. Got to dominate Arizona. Then you got to dominate Kansas City. Then you got to dominate Dallas. Then you go into the bye week feeling good. So it's a good start for Bosa and his defensive line. The Patriots are a really bad team. Two things could simultaneously be true. the Patriots stink, but Bosa's good. And it was good to see him dominate finally. And because the week before, the Rams had a makeshift offensive line, and they didn't get any pressure. No. None whatsoever.
And I thought that his energy level on a snap-to-snap basis, and I think Greg Olsen talked about it, like, the motor was going yesterday, and he kept, and you could tell he was tired. His blood was coming down right. his arm, and he just kept going after the quarterback. And the strip sack play was all effort. All effort. He strip sacks it and then just keeps running, following the ball, and then drops on it. He just missed like two or three sacks prior to that. So it was. I thought it was a really good energy performance. It wasn't just dominating. It just felt like it was one of those relentless pursuit games for him.
Here's Bosa on finally getting a sack.
Yeah, it was looking bleak, but you just have to be ready. You got to be ready for your op, and I had a few. Missed plenty, but I think we had a great day as a D-line, and we got a win, so that's all that matters.
Why are you laughing?
On his confidence in his group.
Yeah, it feels good. Get a win. It's such a long year. If you looked from an outsider's perspective or looked online, you'd think the building's burning down. But I told the guys, told the D-line guys in our meeting last night that we've lost some guys, but I haven't lost confidence in this group one bit. So, and that's the truth. So I think we're going to be just fine.
You know, B, I'm looking at some of my notes here from the game. huge pressures by Malik Collins and Floyd on numerous plays. I thought on the play where he threw the interception, Floyd was the one kind of making him step up and get rid of it quickly. It was the outside pressure that he felt on that left, on that other side. And then on the one sack that Bosa caused earlier in the game, he switched sides with Floyd to get it. I thought they did a really, really, really good job mixing and matching personnel and throwing different things at him. They did blitz Malik Mustafa and Charvarius Ward, and both times the Patriots snuffed it out. Snuffed it out. They knew it was coming. They rolled to the other side on like a designed play. I'm not trying to make too much of the Sorensen thing. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just saying that like when they do send blitzes, I swear to you, every week, the other team knew that the blitz was coming and has a predetermined play to the other side of the field. That is a little, that's like troublesome.
You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to panic or do anything after a win against the Patriots. Or we'll see what they do next week against Arizona and a week after against Seattle. It's one thing to get the Patriots, but there are some concerns. Again, and they mentioned it, Fred Warner mentioned it. It's about week to week, getting better each week. Don't look down the road at a playoff game or a Super Bowl or a championship game or divisional matchup late in the season where it could determine a division title. Week to week. You have to get better week to week. And I think the Niners took a step forward this week defensively. They took a step forward. Now, you got to get more creative with the blitzes. We've heard from everybody over the last month. They're too predictable at their blitzes. And when they blitz, they just don't get home. It's like they just blitz just to blitz. And it's like, hey, let's go send a blitz and take out a block, but it doesn't always work. Tim Ryan's been critical of this on the broadcast. You can't just to blitz. Get creative with the blitzes. You got to make sure when you do blitz, you get home. Or you can get beat deep. You're playing some good quarterbacks coming up here. Some good quarterbacks. You got to get home with the blitzes. But just kind of with Bosa, his quote about, you know, if you read online, I'll just play it because I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, it feels good. Get a win. It's such a long year. If you looked from an outsider's perspective or looked online, you'd think the building's burning down. But I told the guys, told the D-line guys in our meeting last night that we've lost some guys, but I haven't lost confidence in this group one bit. So, and that's the truth. So I think we're going to be just fine.
So it is funny when he says, you know, when you read online and hear everything, you would think the building's burning down and it's mayhem, panic, DEFCON 5. Where are you at here? Panic meters all the way up. And the energy from last Monday to this Monday on this show, for example, a loss and the lines are lit up all 4 hours. This goes to my theory of sports talk radio, man. We got to do better. But remember we had a show, it's like, hey, let's bring up Steph Curry's top five plays, thinking we're going to get a lot of calls. Nobody cared. As soon as Clay goes 0 for 10 or something, we like live in misery. So when the Niners lose last week to the Rams, it's, oh, our pets' heads are falling off. What are we going to do? They're going to win against the Patriots, and it's, you know, it's crickets from the TCs. It's crickets. crickets from the Robs. It's crickets from all our normal callers, our new callers. It's crickets. Are we just happy?
The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
I want to hear about the happiness. What are you happy about with this win? Okay. It's just crazy to me how this works. They win. Purdy looks great. Warner looks great. And everyone says, whatever.
Well, it's probably more of an indictment against the opponent than it is anything else. I think if this win had come against Buffalo, Cincinnati, a team with more sexier, lineup, even though Cincinnati's only 1-3 this year. Mm-hmm. But you get where I'm going with this. And I think maybe against an NFC opponent, you would take a little more from this.
Right.
It is an AFC East opponent that we all think is going to be drafting top five. Yes. So I do understand being a little more reserved. But I'm not scoffing at it. A win's a win's a win.
408 is asking, maybe we can do this in the 9 o'clock hour. 408 is asking, can we get a Shasky Neighborhood Watch 3-on-1 weekend report? And by the way, the RV talk took off so much. And it goes, Bonte, you should stop laughing at Shasky because he's right. The RVs, and I forgot there's an RV parked across the street from her parents' house at one point.
Oh, my God.
And they got the RV up out of there. Now, that's in the neighborhood.
Interesting.
That's on the neighborhood, in the middle of the neighborhood on Cabrillo Street where they're letting stuff out. That's bad. That's bad, 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 bad.
I've got some watch. I'm watching right now. My $30 million wide receiver is on pace for 55 catches and 700 yards.
Mm.
Is that good?
I'm out.
got a bevy of got an embarrassment of riches on his team. What you expect? Is it on him? Honestly, is IU catching passes and putting up big time numbers? Is that all on him?
No.
Do we need to play
that.
The Randy Moss monologue again? Or the opening monologue from receiver doc?
We spent all offseason talking about 29 million, 30 million, 27 million, 24 million, 25. And it's like, it's a run. We've been saying it's a run first team. This is not how they're built. They're not built that way. And I know everyone's like, oh, they're going to evolve into this great passing team and this and the other. It's like, no, the number one wideout is whoever's open. Right. And it's a byproduct of, I get he was a really good player. He was great last year. He's a really good player in general, but this is what their offense does. Their offense is not going to just throw to one or two guys. They're going to throw to a bevy of people, and it's kind of next man up, and it's just how they are. And I'm saying to myself, I'm not faulting Brandon Ayuk. Right. I'm saying to Kyle, didn't you know what you wanted? Didn't you understand this? You kind of knew that you weren't going to force feed any one player.
Let me ask you this. On this football team, on this roster, do you feel better having Ayuk on the roster than not having him on the roster?
Well, could I use the $30 million that I'm spending on him in other areas? It was too late by the time you gave him the money. But no, if you're asking me, independent of that, would I rather have the draft picks or whatever? Honestly, I'd probably not pay $30 million for a wide receiver on this team, and I would have spread the money and the picks or whatever other positions. So that's
traded
probably
him.
What I would have done.
You would have traded
knowing
him.
Knowing this coach and how they run things.
You would have traded him around the draft then?
Probably. I probably would, knowing what I know now.
All right. That's fair.
But again, they got so far down the road, this was their only option. Yeah. I feel a little bit of empathy for him because he's never going to be able to live up to the money in year one. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
The only way he finds a way to justify this in year one is he has to have a monster postseason and they win it all.
Last year he had 7 100-yard games. And again, go back and listen to Shanahan where he's saying, look, we're not going to force feed a player. We're going to hit the open man. Now, to that point, 510 discussing Juwan Jennings on the Comcast Business Text Line. Juwan Jennings is my man. Dude said it all in his interview. Absolutely trusted. But Kittle is always held in due to scheme. I wish he ran more routes. This is just the way the offense is built. And so there could be movement. Look, I wouldn't hold out a trade. The IU thing on Friday, I know you don't want to talk about it. We'll get to the calls in just a second.
Well, it's not that I want to. I just find it so dumb.
Shanahan was asked about it after the game. I want to comment on this.
Yeah.
I didn't see what he threw. Maybe he was just joking, laughing about throwing a shoe. Maybe he didn't like his shoe. I didn't interview him about his shoe toss. But I hate some of the clothes I got to wear out there also. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. So I guess they have a uniform code or whatnot. I would not rule out. And I know people say, well, how can you move the money? We've seen a lot of things happening in the NFL. I don't put it past any. We just saw a big trade in the NBA. Carl Anthony Towns going to the New York Knicks for Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. Big money gets moved all the time, no matter what the contract looks like. There's a will, there's a way. It would not shock me with the way Ayuk is going about his business, because Friday was a bit embarrassing. It was.
Why do you say that?
You just don't do that on the field in front of your teammates. You know, the cameras are rolling. Just a little thing like that, because now it leads to, well, there's friction. And I'm sure inside the locker room, they've handled it already. But it's more for outside noise and outside fodder. Just not a good look.
I agree.
Just not a good look, right? So I wouldn't put it past the 49ers to revisit trading Brandon Ayuk in the future. Could happen midseason, could happen in the offseason, who the hell knows? But I think Ricky Pearsall not playing, not participating in training camp due to injuries, really set them back to the point where it's like, you know what, we can't go into the season not knowing who Pearsall is. Juwan Jennings, okay, is he ready for an elevated role? We don't know.
I didn't know.
We didn't know. Nobody knew.
Yeah, I didn't know.
We have to keep Ayuk because he did ball out. He knows the system, and he's a really good wide receiver. Is he a top five wide receiver? Probably not. Is he a top 10 receiver? I think he is. But this offense has so many mouths to feed, and so you're going to get stat lines like yesterday, and we're going to overlook a play where, you know what, he makes a diving catch
which
is sweet, right? Sweet catch.
I would say it's his, one of his best catches since the butterfly catch. I mean, am I missing another one? I mean, it's one of the best catches of his career.
It's an unbelievable catch. Off the dirt, gets a first down, boom.
And then he had the play-action play earlier where he was wide open, and they ripped one down and on the little like sail route that they like to run.
Yep. So, I mean, Rider. I think it's just a matter of time. Shanahan said, look, this guy played really well against Minnesota. I'll take him for his word about the Minnesota game. And we did mention that Brock Purdy wasn't seeing everything because Brian Flores could confuse the best of them. So, you know, Brandon Ayuk's in a tough spot right now, and he's in a tough spot with the fan base. But that diving catch on third nine was really critical, I thought, to keep the ball, keep moving, keep eating clock, extend the drive, keep the Patriots offense off the field. So we'll see with Brandon Ayuk, man. But it's he lost a lot of Q rating, man.
Can we agree Friday? It's not the end-all, be-all. It's not, and I think we're overanalyzing it just in general, just everyone, because I understand why. It's a video that came out with the title Tantrum. I didn't see a tantrum.
I didn't see a tantrum either.
I didn't see a tantrum, but my definition of tantrum is probably different than others.
When I see tantrum, I see my daughter after gym class saying, I want pizza, and I'm like, no, you're not getting pizza, and you're jumping up and down, throwing a fit. That's tantrum to me.
You and I agree. Yeah. I didn't see the word tantrum, which is fine, whatever. Everyone sees it differently. But I also don't think it's nothing. It's a bad look. That's kind of how I would classify it. Not the end all be all, but it's certainly like, come on, man. You know you're under the microscope. Like, come on. Like, the offseason that you had and the money and everything, like, you got to kind of like see the bigger picture here. And it's just everything's going to be dissected. I'm surprised there weren't more angles of the video. Like, I'm surprised more people didn't have their phones out just because everything seems to have multiple angles. I mean, I see fights in the stands, the Saints and Falcons. There's like seven angles of one fight.
Yeah, so it's not just 49er fans.
There's too many idiot fan fights. I'm so over the fan fighting. Come on, man. Like, just.
But when you get alcohol, drugs and all that stuff.
But the Ayuk thing, like, this is the thing, though.
What it was to me was just a little hissy fit. I got my old Coach Keeves, shout out to Coach Keeves at Washington High School. He's called them hissy fits. Oh, you want to throw a little hissy fit, huh? Blah, 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 blah. Hissy fit, just a little like a little whining, whatever.
I don't know. The dress code stuff, maybe I'm immune to it because of going to private school my whole life. It's like, wear the uniform, dude. Like, it's pretty simple. Just put on what everyone else has got on. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I
went to public school and the coach be like, hey, okay, babes, wear ties. Half our ties be all over the place. We didn't care.
Well, if you didn't wear your tie and you didn't have your vest, you didn't play. Like, you didn't even get on the bus.
Yeah, no.
Right? I look back on that and I have coaches, like, I look back on that stuff and I'm like, I think that, and this is why I tuck in my shirt when I'm practicing or whatever. It's just it's just how you're, you know, how you're raised. It's up to each individual.
We didn't have a strict dress code on game day. We actually, on game day, we just wore our jerseys.
Well, that's cool. But like at Reardon, we had to wear the white pullovers with the tie. Yeah. And I actually thought now, looking back, it's kind of cool because everyone knows that you're going to go and hop on the bus and take off. And look, at the end of the day, just wear the right color shorts. Come on, man. You're making a lot of money.
You have the shorts on.
Just put on the right color shorts.
Willard had a field day with that, man. Why? That news broke. Man, I tapped it. When I get off work, I try to, disconnect, and it's Friday, and I'm with Baby Chaz. The video got sent to me. I said, oh, boy. Okay. Let me tap in to see what my guys at 95.7 Game are talking. Man, Cam Imanon, he was discussing it all. It's like, great. Thank God Devo played.
Well, you know,
thank God
what I kept thinking was, thank God Purdy's the grown up. Like, just in general, nothing phases Purdy. And this is why, like, I love him as our quarterback of the team. Like, he's just, there's no nonsense. Everything just rolls off the, whether it's Ronnie Bell not suiting up, okay, and him hyping up Ronnie Bell all week in a good way. Like, Purdy just acts like a leader. And I look at my quarterbacks a certain way. I told you, I want my quarterback to be a flip phone guy. I prefer him to be married and not go out and just lay low. Like, yeah, that's what I want.
Stop. So you wouldn't want Lamar Jackson on your team?
Oh, I'd take him.
Yeah, he's wearing gold teeth.
But Lamar Jackson has a saying. Lamar Jackson has a saying. No one cares. Work harder. Like, that's the sweatshirt he wears every day to practice. He's a no-nonsense guy who literally says nothing and just, like, he's very straightforward.
But he's also not rocking a flip phone. He's wearing a platinum grill. The whole image thing with the quarterback stuff, sure, you want to see y'all, want a guy who represents the company well.
It's the way you conduct yourself. Lamar conducts himself a certain way.
Simply going to a strip club is not unprofessional.
I agree with you, Matt. Matthew Simons, I agree with you for once. Listen, if my quarterback had face tattoos, but he conducted himself like a professional, I would not care. I don't care if he had 5 phones, 10 gold chains on. Are you a pro?
I'm calling cap on that, because if someone has a face tattoo, you are absolutely making assumptions.
Well, that's, you're making assumptions. I'm not making assumptions. There's a lot of people with face tattoos who are great citizens of the country.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you make assumptions.
You make assumptions. People make assumptions. Yeah, that's the problem in this world. We all make assumptions. We keep judging.
Face tattoos is aggressive. Can we admit it? It is aggressive.
We keep judging books by their covers. Like, we can't do that. Read the book. Let's go to BPA. And then we'll get to everybody.
Hey, BPA.
Morning. What are the odds McCaffrey, suffering from tendonitis in both Achilles, didn't know that before he held out? I would say, like, slim and none. I mean, come on. There's no way. He knew. He must have known. Maybe one Achilles, both Achilles? So I'll say Jordan Mason leads the NFL in rushing 4 straight 100-yard games. He makes $500,000 a year. You know, sometimes 1 + 1 = 2, but wow, McCaffrey is going to have to come in like a howitzer when he comes back from injury, man. So that's it.
The chances that CMC didn't know that he was injured to some degree, I'm with him, it's zero.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, well, we got hoodwinked. I mean, there's no other way. We got fleeced. But here's the other part of it, and this is reality. Oh, it's like, man. I also believe that, like, CMC, like, and you pay people not for past achievements. You pay them for what you think they're going to do moving forward. I would have probably gave CMC the money, too. When he's healthy, he's the best player in the league. Is he not?
He's one of the best players in the league, no doubt.
I mean, he's
one of the best players.
Clear-cutting away one of the best running backs ever.
Let's go
in and out of uniform. Man.
but it's running backs.
No, there's no doubt. Like, both are true.
You know, like,
I would have paid him, and I would have been hoodwinked too.
Right now, that doesn't look good.
No,
it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. It looks horrible.
All the energy we spent on Brandon Ayuk and, you know, this Christian McCaffrey deal where he got the contract extension, they was like, wow, okay. We got money problems. Miguel in San Antonio. Miguel, what's happening?
Yo, good morning, Vontae. Good morning, Shasky. Another Victory Monday. I was waiting for this one. It's been 2 weeks. You know, we finally got another Victory Monday. I'm pumped just to see the offense go out there. I got a couple things I want to point out, but I want to end up with a 3-1-1 Shasky. But just the offense, just going out there. I think that they're moving in the right direction. At the defense, they feasted on Jacoby Brissett. They had all the guys, Bosa, Collins, Givens, 2.5 sacks. I mean, they were expected to do this. A little concern about who, you know, that offensive line, of the Patriots. I just want to see if that loss against the Rams was kind of like our last season where we had that 3-game losing streak. All week, everybody's talking about the defense. I think this might have been their little, like, their wake up, their rallying cry, just to go out there. Fred always leading it. One other concern is with, you know, what we're finding out about McCaffrey. Who's going to be back there if McCaffrey's out longer than anyone expected. I mean, I don't want Mason to get worn out, and I definitely don't want Debo back there being a running back and getting hurt. I want him on those bombs, like he had that bomb yesterday. And then real quick, shout out Purdy. Purdy's showing who he is. Shout out Purdy with the hi mom. I called my mom after the game. Thank you for that reminder. And Shasky, I know you know everybody's making a lot about Ayuk shorts, but when the offense came out and every first play, all offense, Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox. Ayuk had the White Sox. I said, "Uh-oh, Shasky dialing 311, going to report that."
That's good. That's good. That, come on, that's a good material. I would rather be the White Sox.
But I don't. What I was surprised is Purdy was wearing red shoes. I don't think I've seen him wear red shoes.
He was dripped up. By the way, Jordan Mason on pace for nearly 387 carries. So it's gone down a little bit. Gone down. 387 carries. He's averaging over 22 carries a game. So should you lessen the load? I kind of like the way he runs, man. Again, I like good players on the field. Guys get hurt in football. It's football. It's pro football. Guys get hit. It's a violent sport. What do you want? You think everybody's going to be, think injuries are off? Guys get hit. That's what happens. All right. Your phone call's coming up. We got everybody. Rocky, Travis, Dave. Oh, Dave's got a very interesting point this week. Very interesting. Want to stay tuned for that one. By the way, media day today. Steiny Goo, Mike Dunleavy, Buddy Hill, Kyle Anderson. They're all going to join them live from Chase Center as we ramp up for basketball season. What's going to happen with the Giants? We don't know.
Sports, man.
Sports, man. Alabama, Georgia. Wow. Sports, man. It's all coming up. Brought to you by Frontier Ford. The end of summer sales event is on right now at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com.